Blog Talk Radio.
You're locked in to the hottest station on the planet.
What's good, radio family? TPV Radio Network has an all-star lineup just for you. Just pick your flavor, starting with The Psalmist Voice Reloaded every Sunday at 2 p.m., Wednesdays and Fridays at 11 a.m. The Psalmist Voice Presents, which is a showcase for all artists, business, and entrepreneurs by appointment only. The Caribbean Pepper Pot is back every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. The Love Potion every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Also, we have our new show every Monday at 12 noon. It's The Grub and the return of The Williams Review every Monday at 6 p.m. and Saturday at 1 p.m. Also, Men Let's Talk to be announced. TPV Radio is also broadcasting on KBRG, The Bridge. Just download 365 Live, search KBRG, The Bridge, and you're in there. Walk with us. Let's go. At Majal's Products, we care for a better you with our handmade natural ingredients to give you healthier skin, body, and stronger hair. Like our face, foot, hair, and body care products. To order yours today, please visit our website at www.majalsproducts.com or on Facebook at Majal's Products. Get yours today and get your faster results without breaking the bank.
My co-host here with me tonight, my husband Christopher Newton, and you are tuned in to the Love Potion. Well, tonight, my friends, we have an interesting topic. Your child is not your friend. That's right, family and friends. So before we move on, Chris, how do you feel about tonight's topic, being that your child is not your friend, basically, you know, you have people out there that treat their kids as their friend on that same equal level. What's your thought on that before we go in?
Well, yeah, I agree. With the child ratio and friend ratio and all that jazz, we got a problem because your child is not your friend. Your job as a parent is to raise your child up the way they should go, which is in scripture. Basically, we're supposed to get our children ready for the world. And the world, especially the world we're in today, not only you have to be spiritually strong, but you also have to be strong as a young man or a young woman going into the world. Because, quite frankly, let's keep it real. This world holds no punches. They will chew you up and spit you out. And if you don't have a thick skin, as my wife likes to say, they will definitely take advantage of you. So you have to make sure that you're giving your children the equipment necessary to withstand the wiles of this crazy world and still be able to keep their faith at the same time. And it's a little harder for our kids now because they're exposed to so much stuff that we haven't been exposed to. They have access to things that when I was growing up, I didn't have access to. So, you know, we as parents got to not only be tech savvy, app savvy and all these things that these kids now can do, have hidden apps on top of main apps, hacking codes, all this stuff that these kids are actually learning in schools. Yeah, they're learning this stuff in school. So come on. So we really got to be careful, you know, with what's going on with our kids. So to answer your question yet again, no, your child is not your friend. Your you are there to be a mentor to your child, to be kind of like a coach to your child. But as far as you going to the mall and dropping it like it's hot with your kid and all this other stuff we see going on right now, yeah, crazy. So that's my take on it. I'm a whole bad because you know I'm going to bring the biblical side on it. But, babe, back to you.
Well, there is a purely emotion part of the parent-child relationship that is built on affection and esteem. Parents and child are genetically geared to love each other, which, you know, we all know that's natural, and it's a beautiful thing to have, which, you know, we love our kids love us back, but there's a state where parenting becomes a functional role, not just an emotional role with infants. The emotional role shows when a mother demonstrates her love by, you know, by we holding, talking, and singing to our child. The functional role involves feeding, changing diapers, and bathing the baby. One without the other is damaging for the child. So if we love that child, but we did not do the responsible functional things, that the child would be at great risk and would be harmed and neglected. If we don't take care of the functional things and we don't show that child any love, it would have long-term effects on that child's emotional development. The development and functional parenting roles go hand in hand, and it's not healthy to emphasize one of the cost of the other, which is true. I mean, where as parents or as mothers, you know, it's our duty, that's how I feel, to, you know, feed and bait our kids until they get to that age that they could do it for themselves, you know. As kids grow older, the parents' role becomes more functional and less emotional, which is true. You know, as they get older, we don't hug and love them as much as they was an infant, but, you know, we show love in a different way, which is a hard lesson for some parents who want to be their child's best friend. As parents, they may feel those emotions inside, but they really have to do more for their child functionally. And it self-limits with the child's limits. Setting is a very healthy function. It's how the kids learn to figure out what's safe and what's not, what's appropriate and what's not appropriate. The functional role change for parents as the child grows. With a one-year-old, it involves changing diapers. With an eight-year-old, the functional role involves getting homework done. With a 15-year-old, it involves enforcing a responsible curfew for that child. And, I mean, again, it is true, as the child grows, we set different functions and stuff, but do I feel like my child is my best friend, or am I my child's best friend, or are we friends? No, because to the end of the day, I am your mother. I'm going to set rules, you know, and we do have parents out there that, you know, they tell their kids everything, you know, and they share everything basically with the kids. That's a no-no because you're an adult. There's just certain things. I don't care how old your child gets as far as being an infant to probably 18 years old. You know, there's things we have to talk to with them, the bees and the birds, and, you know, for the girls, them, you know, we have to talk to them about getting their monthly cycle and stuff. These are things that, yeah, we have to tell them. You know, for the boys, it's different, that alone time that boys, that they reach teenage years, you know, if a single parent, you know, a single mom, you have to talk to the boys them about that as well. You know, as they get older, you have to talk to them about sex and different things. But you should never use yourself as an example or what you've been through personally as an example to that child. That's a no-no, you know. As a parent, you shouldn't be sharing that with your kids at all. You know, every family different, every parent or parents raise their child differently. You know, who am I to tell anybody how to raise their child? But as far as being friends with that child, I don't think that's the right thing to do. You know, do not mature your child faster than they're supposed to. That's how I feel. You know, I mean, like I said, in 4 more days, I have a 9-year-old. You know, she's maturing. Yes, there are certain things I have to talk to her about and tell her about, but to the end of the day, she knows she's not my best friend. She's not my friend. She knows mommy love her. She knows mommy would do certain things for her. She knows I will defend her if she's right. And these are things that I tell her straight up, you know, if you're right, I have your back. But if you're wrong, figure it out on your own, because we teach them right from wrong from a young age. So if she do something and she knows it's wrong, she knows that there's going to be, you know, consequences behind of it. You know, are they going to make mistakes? Yes, they are going to make mistakes. And, you know, we could step in as they get older and they make mistakes, you know. We talk to them about it and, like, you know, you already make this mistake. It happened. The only thing you could do is dust it off and keep moving. That's my motto. That's how I see it, you know. Because for me, as an adult, when I make a mistake, you know, I can't change it because it's already happened. It's now in the past because it happened. But what I could do is try my best not to make that mistake again. I learned my lesson from that mistake to make sure that I don't fall into that same hole again. You know, but there's so much things about parenthood that for those of us that raised up old school like I did, our parents didn't talk to us about, our parents didn't tell us about. You know, I have a sister that doesn't 100% agree with the way I talk to my 8-year-old sometimes, and I have to tell her, hey, hold up. The world that we're living in ain't easy, and the world that they gonna be living in when their generation get older, it's going to be twice as hard. And I'm teaching her. That's how I see it. Again, I could be wrong. But I'm teaching her that if somebody tells you something, don't let it break you. If somebody calls you out of your name, it's just a word. Don't let it break you. Know to yourself that you are better than that. And your self-worth, you are worth way more than the names and the things that they tell you. If somebody talk about you, it's okay. It's okay. People only talk about you when they know that you're more important than them. And these are the things that I'm teaching my child. And, you know, my other daughter, she's a little bit younger. She's a tough cookie like her mom. You know, that one I'm going to have to break my bones because, like I said, she is a tough cookie. She's more like me in my younger days, very stubborn, you know, very, very manageable. I mean, like, she has so much manners, but like an overbaked cookie, you know. She's not easy to break, you know, and she has that leadership mentality and that authority to stand in leadership, you know, and that's what I love about her. You know, my older daughter, more of a follower, and I'm trying to break her out of that. But, you know, as we have kids, You know, each one is different. Yes, they are different. We have to be attentive to each one in a different way because they have their own personality. They're different characters. They're not the same person. You know, so you have to deal with them differently. But your platform for your rules and stuff should not be different for each child. And, you know, as me being a younger child as well, growing up, it was different. You know, my mom was older in age, so she was more lenient on the rules and stuff like that. You know, I didn't get the whooping like, you know, my older siblings then got because they're like, if you are raised up in our days, boy, we would have preferred daddy to beat us than mommy to beat us because mommy used to hold you between her leg with your butt to her and she tear your butt up. You know, I didn't raise up with that. And, you know, as we get older too in age, you know, we become more lenient on our last child. But my baby get more of a whooping than the older one, you know. So it's different in my household. And like I said, in every household, it's different, you know, but they get punished right now. They're in punishment. They went to bed way early because they're not doing the things that they're supposed to do. You know, and they know that I don't really beat. I'm very old school. Yes, they do get whoopings when necessary. But I would quicker punish them and take away things because, believe it or not, our three-year-old know how to work my phone and my husband's phone. She know how to get to the things that the YouTube and look for her funnies and stuff like that on YouTube. And this is a three-year-old, you know, and she's been doing that from the time she's, what, 1.5, Chris? You know, so that's just to show that how advanced our kids them are in these times. You know, generation is different. I remember growing up, 8-year-old, I had a Nintendo box. The old square Nintendo box with two controls, my uncle buy me, and that's what I played, but I was never into games. You know, my brothers them and my mom sometimes played it more than me. I was always into reading books and stuff like that, you know, but generations are different, family and friends, and to the end of the day, you have to remember that, you know, your kids is not your friend, and we're going to talk more about it. I'm going to let Chris elaborate on it if you have anything else to say. And then we're going to move on to the second topic that falls under the first, why you shouldn't make your child your confidant. So, Chris?
Well, what, like I said, I'm going to bring a different edge to what we're talking about. We're as far as disciplining the child, as far as whoopings, I'm going to rephrase that, not beatings, whoopings is a big difference because there's a big misconception about beating and whipping. There's a big difference. Now, when you're whooping your child, you're disciplining your child. And let me bring some scripture to light so to back up what I'm saying. So pretty much in Proverbs 22:6, it says, train up a child the way he should go, then he or she is old and he will not depart from it, which is the value. So, of course, when it comes to the most famous scripture of sparing the rod and reproof give wisdom. But a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Uh-oh. So, yeah. So we got, you know, we got stuff all wrong now. And then here's another one, Proverbs 13:24. It also reads, whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. So, parents, it says here in the word, in a court of law, the word still stands because one nation still is under God in the constitutional right. Whooping your child is a different from beating your child. Now, if you're beating your child black and blue, guess what? That's abuse. But if you're spanking your child using like a little my mom, you will see back in the day in my time, they used to use what do you call them things?
Switches.
Yeah, they used to use switches. they used to use, we used to go out and pick the switch with the thorns on them still, and we used to get lit. Extension cords, yeah, we got it back in the day. So the kids now got it light, and that's why a lot of these kids now are the way they are. They're disrespectful, they're rude, they think they're entitled to something, and you're not entitled to anything, children. Sorry, I'm raising you. My job is to make sure you have a roof over your head, clothes on your back, food on the table, and to make sure you pass high school and go to college and get a decent job and all that. Those are my responsibilities. My responsibility isn't to buy you the latest clothes. Uh-oh, I might get in trouble for that statement. My job is not to get the latest iPad, iPhone. No, that's a want, not a need. Not to give you the latest car. You drive a car better than me. No, it doesn't work like that. So, anyway, those are the Bible basics. Proverbs 29:15 and also Proverbs 13:29. So those are the two spare the rod scriptures that I want to give to all of you that still believe in disciplining your child as far as spankings. Yeah, it happens. And training up your child the way it should go, Proverbs 22:6, that is imperative. And then we can go further because my wife has some more stuff we can break down on it. So, babe, back to you.
Going back to what you said, yeah, we have this tree home that'll grow called Tantan Bush. is like the parts of the branch when you take it, break it, even though you break it, is like a flexible piece. It becomes like a whip, actually. And when you get beat with that and they hit you once and that decide that it's going to split, it's like you get hit more than one lash with that one beaten. I could remember probably like one to two times that I actually got beat from my mom. And I'm going to use the word beat because, you know, we use beat. You know, Americans would say that's abuse, but that's how we eat a lick so you don't get beat. You know, those are the words that we use coming from the older folks. So the first time I could really remember me getting beat is that I thought I was grown. And I decided to open my mouth after my mother. Well, that's the first time I got beat with the tantan whip. I said, no, son, never me again. But, you know, me being stubborn and, you know, being me who I is, especially in my younger days, she had these, for those of you that are old school, you know when you walk in your parents' house or your grandparents' house, they used to get these two things on a wall. One, some people have three, but my mom had two. There's the spoon and the fork. It was made out of wood, and they would have it like over the dinner table on that wall. Well, me and my sister's son, because my sister's son came and lived with us for a year, and we decided mommy wasn't home. My mother went out with my older sister and my mom wasn't home. So we decided to play sword fight. Now, the first time we played sword fight with it, we didn't get caught. We did break it. Not the first time, but the second time we went back and played with it. We break it that time. And it was so funny because our neighbor at the time helped us glue it back. And we thought it was dry, and we went to play sword fight with it again, break it again. My mom didn't have come out too good. After the car with my sister with her groceries, my nephew flew down the stairs. Grandma, grandma, it wasn't me, it was Shanice. So my mom said, why I do know? When she got upstairs and she saw that her spoon had broke, well, my nephew ain't get beat. But I sure as hell pick up some licks that day. And she grabbed the first thing she could find, which was the cable car. And I'm talking about no short piece of cable car, family and friends. It was a long piece of cable car. Well, when my mother doubled it up and she tear my butt with it. I was receiving eight laughs in one. Well, I learned my lesson. I learned my lesson after that. You know, and it's going back to what Chris said, you know, we could discipline our kids, you know, but with society and the mentality that they're giving our kids that if we beat them, it's wrong, call 911, this and that, you know, to me, that's just society way of getting over on us as parents correcting our kids. And, you know, society would be the first one to say, hey, you know, we did not discipline our kids properly. This is why they're in jail. This is why they're dead. This is why they're that. Okay, yeah, you know, if you beat them to abuse them, like my husband said, that's something totally different. Yeah, then you deserve to go to jail. You really and truly do as a parent. But if we beat them to correct them because they did something wrong, I personally don't see the harm in it, but you've got to know your limit as well. So we're going to go into this second topic of the night, why you shouldn't make your child your confidant. You know, and as parents, we often make the mistake of making our child our confidant. So when they say, be his friend, or I want him to be my friend, what are they really saying is, I want to be his confidant. That's just not fit with the functional role of parenting. It's very well-meaning trap that parents fall into. They want to share with the child how they really feel about their grandparents, their husband or whatever, etc. How they really feel about the neighbors, you know, like I said, the teacher and stuff, but it's ineffective because the child is not, it's not moral, emotional, or intellectually prepared to play that role. If you're 40 years or older and you want a confidant, find another 40-year-old. Find somebody your age, closer to your age. You know, there is no reason to have a 5, 6, 7, 12-year-old as your confidant, you know. But don't look for a 10-year-old, like I said, or a teenager to be your confidant. That's just not morally right. Like I said before, there's no reason telling your business, your emotions and stuff of what you're going through to a child. It's just not right. You're making that child grown. Parents think their teacher are in error, they should keep that to themselves and their peers and deal with the school directly. If you think the teacher is an idiot for not letting your child chew gum in the classroom, you can be your kid's best friend and say, that's stupid. That's a stupid rule, and the teacher's a jerk. Or you can be a functional parent and say, I really disliked that rule when I was in school too, but I had to follow the rule. So you see how we switch instead of agreeing with the child, because what you're doing now, especially for, you know, and in this generation now we have children raising children, and because they still ain't fully grown and they raising kids. Like, for example, I have classmates that just had kids graduate this year and last year from high school. So, you know, as growing up, we still learning mentally. And when you have a child and, you know, we think we grown because we have a child, and you check home, well, mommy, that teacher, da-da-da-da-da, this, and, like, you pop off instead of directly dealing with the school or, you know, talking to the teacher, have the teacher parent conference and talk to the teacher and find out what's going on. I'm not saying the teacher is wrong. I'm not saying that the teacher is right. But sometimes, yes, it could be our kids as well. You know, some of us don't want to hear that our kids is this, our kids is that. But, I mean, if your child wrong, they're wrong. If my child wrong, they're wrong. And I let her know, you wrong. You know better than that. And if she's wrong and she's doing something that she's not, I've made my child apologize to the teacher because I had that parent-teacher conference. And I figure out, and when after talking to the teacher, I found out that my child was doing something that she wasn't supposed to be doing in class. And I made her apologize. So, you know, you have to put those principles in place and teach your child. Even if you feel some type of way about that teacher, don't express that in front of your child, because you're telling your child it's okay to go to school and go off on a teacher because mommy got your back, because mommy's at home going on the same way too. You know, don't worry, I'm going to deal with that. I've seen it personally where parents actually did that. And I mean, what's so wrong to find out what's really going on? What's so wrong to tell your child, hey, you know, in life there's rules put for us for a reason. You know, if you punch holes in authority figures thinking you're being a confident with your kid, don't be surprised when he or she disrespect that authority figure. And then if you give him consequences for that respect, he's going to look at you as a hypocrite. And it's true. When you make your child your confident, family, and friends, you're saying that you and your child are co-decision makers, meaning you're putting them on the same level, and I'm not going to make a decision without you okaying it. That's the level that you're putting your child on. The fact is, family and friend, you and your child is not co-decision makers in any really realistic way. Kids can offer you their opinion. They can tell you what they like and dislike, but certainly decisions, especially important ones, but even certain minor ones, have to be made by us, the parents. Kids have to understand that the family moves as a unit and the adult makes the decision. You know, I think you can certainly share some things with your child without turning him in, turning he or she to as a confidant, turning them into your confidant. And of the things you can share with a child is the statement, "We can't afford that." You know, it's a factual statement that explain the limits under which you must live. What you shouldn't share with your child is, "I don't know how I'm going to pay the rent this month." It's something that a child should not be prepared for. And it develops, he or she, a way of looking at the world that it is unhealthy and realistic. You know, we don't want to do things like that, telling our child that, hey, we can't pay the bill this month, we can't pay this, we can't pay that. You know, because in a way too, that's like growing your child up too quick, because then they're going to be like, wow, we're going to be without light, or, you know, if they're a teenager, what can I do to go out there, you know, and make that money to help mommy or help daddy pay the lights, you know, because sometimes we don't know what's going on in our kids' life, and you don't want to turn them or open them to options that they're too young for, that they think it's an option for them just to get money to help you. And, you know, they're still a child that they shouldn't be thinking about those things. You know, you're basically opening the door for a lot of kind of worms. You know, so you don't want to do that. If you have a tendency to treat your child as your friend, you should understand this is important in perspective of friendship. Friends are a group of people that have the same notions about ideas and life. The truth is, children and adults have a very different notion about what they should be doing. They have entirely different notion about what's wrong. They have different notions about what to do tonight. You need to be a parent to your child, family, or friends, and be loving, caring, and responsible. But you have to find your confidence outside of the family structure. You know, do not make your child your confidant. Don't make them feel that they can also make the same decisions with you about things that's going on within the house or in your life. You know, a child shouldn't come to you as an example and say, "Well, you know, mommy or daddy, I don't think you should be with that person because I don't like them." You know, that's just sometimes a child feel things that we don't know about a person, which is, it could be true, but it could be to that, hey, that person that we're bringing into this new circle is a strict person as far as, you know, you have rules to follow, and they don't like that because it could be that you never implement rules before, so now they have rules because somebody with structure, sometimes more than us, as single parents, you know, they have more structure, and the kids don't like that as well, you know. So it could be a lot of things. Yes, we have to hear our kids out at the same time. We have to hear where they're coming from at the same time, but don't ever make them be the one to make the decision for what's going on around the household or in our life. You know, we're the parents. Stand up and be a parent. You know, hear them out, and you could tell them your opinion back as well, but, you know, you don't make your decisions based on what that child is saying. Like, you know, they have different ideas about what life is. And we have to remember as parents that their life just beginning. We're the ones as parents supposed to show them what life is and how to deal with consequences in life, not make them a part of that decision for our life and consequences of things that happening in our life as well. Chris, do you have anything to elaborate?
Well, keeping your child away from the
you wish your parents had you,
Yeah, and I was paused that whole time. So, yeah. So probably nobody heard nothing I just said.
Wow. So we probably had a dead moment with you talking.
Yeah.
That's true because I didn't hear you on my end.
Yeah.
Wow. So my husband was talking all along, and we are not sure if it was recorded. So we just had 2 minutes of dead air. If it was dead air, I am sorry. But, you know, you want to repeat what you said just in case it wasn't recorded, and then we'll go to music after that. And then we're going to come back and talk. Don't try to parent your child the way you wish your parents had parented you. So, Chris?
Go! Yeah. So, here we go. Pretty much, I'm just going to sum it all up in a nutshell. Our children are not built to be adults at an early age. It all depends on certain things in your life. Some children have to grow up fast and have to do certain things and be mature in certain ways. But also, if you know, and one thing that I'm proud about my mom about is that she gave us balance. Even though I had to learn how to do certain things at an early age, I was still a kid. And that's the one thing that I can applaud my mom for, you know, for doing that, you know, when she was, it was just us for a while. And then she got married as I got older. But by then, she's already instilled in me to get a job and do for myself and stuff like that. So pretty much, you know, I was almost out the door at that point. But, I those things like that are different. But again, you know, we're not our kids' best friends, you know. And as they get older, they're not going to really want to listen to what you got to say, no way. Because that's how teenagers are. They're going to try to defy you. They're going to try to, to get on your last nerve. We have to make sure that we instill in them enough positive that when they go into their rebellious stage, that all the positives will outweigh the negatives, and they will balance out as their hormones balance out and check out and stuff like that. So, yeah, so pretty much I'm done with my side of the spectrum. Again, you know, we have to train our children the way they should go. You know, if you need a guide to teaching your children the God's way of doing it, you can go to Ephesians 6:1-24. That is a perfect guide of parenting. If you don't know, have no clue on how to parent, this would be a perfect guide for you. Ephesians 6:1-24. And when we come back, we got more for you. So stick around. The Love Potion is coming at you prime time right here on the Psalmist Voice Radio Network, transmitting also KBRG, The Bridge. We'll check you in a few minutes. The Love Potion.
Family and friends. We are back. We are back, and tonight we're talking about your child is not your friend. And continuing with the topic of the night, we did talk about that your child should not be your confidant as well. And we're going to move on talking about don't try to parent your child the way you wish your parents had parented you. You know, many parents try to raise their child in a way that they wish their parents had parented them. It sounds nice on paper, but it just doesn't work. So if your parents were distant or rigid with you, or they seem uncaring to you, or they seem self-involved to you, or they may made horrible personal mistakes and didn't give you guidance you needed, you shouldn't overcompensate for that by violating parenting child boundaries with your own child. This can be characterized as a reaction formation. In reaction to deceit you show in your own parents, you form a way of parenting that's not healthy for you or for your child. Remember that anything done in a reactionary way is going to have unforeseen consequences. And the biggest problem with parent-child friendship is all the unforeseen consequences. Parents tend to look only at the foreseen consequences. For example, family and friends, a child will like me more if I am his friend. He trusts me. Parents don't look for the unforeseen circumstances, such as he won't listen to a word because I never used it with him or taught him how to deal with it. Mother, just be clear, family and friends. Then you need to learn how to respond differently to your child, not simply demand that your child communicate differently. If you and your child have been talking about what a jerk a certain teacher or person is for years, the child brings it up, you can't simply come out and say, "Don't call the teacher or the person a jerk anymore." Instead, say, "I don't think it helps us to label that person or teacher. Let's figure out how to come together and handle this situation successfully." An irresponsible friend will sit around and badmouth a teacher or a person with their child. A responsible friend would help their child solve the problem he is having with that teacher. Parents in divorce families will often both try to be the child's confidant and the child gets stuck painfully in the middle. The mother is telling him what the father likes, what he's doing or not doing. The father does the same thing about the mother. And, you know, it goes back and forth where basically, you know, sometimes as divorced parents, you know, we, although me and my husband is not divorced, but, you know, we, because it even happened in relationships where a father and a mother is not together anymore. We tell the child negative things about their father. And, you know, when they go over by their dad's house, their dad telling the child negative things about the mom, if they're that type of person. Yes, this could happen, you know. So we need to put an end to that if we're doing that with our kids, because, you know, we sticking that child in the middle of something that is poisoning us, something that we're teaching our child that, hey, this is okay to do when you get old and you have kids and, you know, your marriage doesn't work or the relationship you're in with your child's father doesn't work. This is something that you should do. You know, so we just need to put an end to that because, you know, we don't want to poison our kids' mind from young, you know. be true to some degree. And the kids can see it. You know, kids, children, they observe everything and they pick up on everyday thing. But, you know, we can't react to it properly because he does not have the maturity. Talking about a child, you know, or we as parents, doesn't have the maturity to put a stop to it. And when they get older, they don't have the maturity to stop do it as well. So, you know, we don't want to raise our kids with those kind of things in mind that it's okay. You know, we as parents might point out defects in the other parent that are accurate. That is right. Not wrong, but that is right. But the way they point it out, by treating the child as a confidant, empowers the child to attack them, meaning to attack the other parent, you know, telling them, what, you know, it's okay to talk about your father or your mother this way. Is okay to mount them back, meaning talking back to that parent, because we're doing it. We're doing it in a different way, in a different form. And because we stuck that child in that poisonous position, we're telling them, it's okay, you could do it too. And then, you know, some parents will do it, but then when the child starts doing it, oh, you know, we want to jump on their child case, but we can't, because that's what we imply to that child. You know, the goal of adolescent is individuals, separation from adult. That means that the child is going to have his own business, beliefs, and rules that he or she not going to want to share with adults, meaning us. You need to know that it's not a violation of the parent-child relationship for that parent to develop his own set of friends and his own value. Those friends and values may not be healthy from a parent's point of view or an objective observer's point of view, but it's the child's job to work through that. People who don't evaluate from their parent in the pre-adolescence and adolescence end up with emotional and social problems in life. Many parents see this individual in divisions, I'm sorry, happening in their adolescence. Children and feel adolescents abandoned by their child when they have parented too much in the emotional role and have acted as the child's friend. They are remarkable sense of loss and their compassion for it being blaming the child. Chris, you have anything to elaborate on this before we move on?
Well, with my thought on, you know, being, because I'm a divorced parent. Before I met my wife, I was a divorced parent, and I understand the hardships of when you have a child that's in a divorce situation. Because yeah, there can be some adolescent things that the parents might do, and badmouth the father. In most cases, it's always the father's. In most cases, but a lot of times, you know, it. All that does is damage the child, because when the child is able to see the other parent for themselves, when the child is able to have a relationship with the other side and see that all the bad things that was said are not true, then that kid's going to be a little like, what in the world? Like, mom, really? Or dad, really? So we have to watch what we really say with our kids, because our kids are a lot smarter than we give them credit for. You know, just like we said earlier, our three-year-old already knows how to go through apps and goes to her little shows and stuff on the YouTubes and all this other stuff. These kids are way smarter, and we have to be smarter as parents on what we say and how we act with our children. You know, we have to be loving, compassionate, but yet stern and focused. Our goal and focus for our children is to become better than we are. That's just my interpretation. You know, just like with my son, for example, I'm very, very, very proud of my son. You know, my son has had a very rough upbringing, and I thank God for the support system that he's had. over the years with his grandparents and with his aunt and uncle. And, you know, I'm glad that I was able to spend a few years with my son before he went to South Carolina and he graduated high school, and now he's in college. He's doing something that, you know, daddy was not able to achieve. And I always told him, be better than me, son. You know, be better than me. Don't make the same mistakes I made. Be better than me. Make smarter choices. You know, use the brain that God has given you to make smarter choices. Be better, you know. And, you know, I always tell him that. I may not have been the perfect dad. I may not have been there for him all of his life. But when I was in his life, I made sure I made some kind of positive impact as well. And that's what we should do, regardless if the parent is with the child since day one or the parent has an opportunity to be with the child. I had a second chance by being in the family I'm with now, with my adopted daughter and with my daughter that I have with my wife. I had a second chance to be a father, to be a dad, you know, to show that I have what it takes to, you know, be a father to children. And these are girls, totally different element, totally different, totally different. Girls are different. And, you know, for me, it's a learning curve. I'm learning as I go that certain things I can do with my sons, I can't do with girls, you know, and you have to learn how to be versatile as a father too. And now that I have girls, I see things a lot different too. So, you know, I always tease my daughters all the time. I'm going to make sure I got Smith and Wesson, and I'm going to have my shock in the back just in case, you know, because, you know, I want to make sure my girls are treated like queens and they're not going to be dogged out and all that other stuff. You know, I want my girls to be independent on their own. They're making their own money. They're doing their own thing. And if they choose to date or if they choose to be with somebody, they're not stuck as, oh, I got to be with him because I have to stay supported. No. I want them to make sure they have what they need, get the education that they need so they can press forward and be positive role models in their peers as well as in this world. I want them to change. I want them to change things, be a world changer as well as my sons. I want them to be world changers. So, you know, we all can grow up in different situations and we can all make excuses as to why we lack certain things, but I know growing up for me, you know, I didn't make excuses for not obtaining certain things, and I thank God for what I've achieved in such a short time span of my life. I'm still young, but I thank God for what I've achieved because I was always told that I couldn't. I was always told that, oh, you're not going to do it because you ain't grew up in a two-parent household. All this crap, all this nonsense. So it's about how you do it, how you take the negative, make it into a positive. And if you put God in the middle of it, I'm telling you, family, I don't care who says what. I don't care if you came out of the worst of conditions of parents. You could still be a positive force in this world, especially if you put Jesus Christ in the middle. I ain't trying to preach to y'all, but I'm just speaking real talk. You know, when you put God in the middle of it, it changes the whole game of everything that you see around this world, between what's being taught in our schools now, all these new curriculums, all this new technology, all these different, you know, social things that they have to learn now in school. You know, we have to learn about the different, you know, sexual orientations now in school. All these things we didn't have to worry about when we were in school. Now the kids are being openly given this information. So parents, you know, it's not about perfection. It's about molding your kids to be their better self. You know, we want to protect our kids from everything, but we can't. But we want to equip them so when they do come into a situation, they know how to handle it, they know how to execute it, and they know how to be the better person in it. And I'm done. So I'm going to go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we're going to close this thing out right. And thank you so much, family, for listening in to the Love Potion right here on TPV Radio Network, also transmitting on KBRG, The Bridge. So I thank you so very much for tuning in to the Love Potion. Keep it locked, family. We'll be right back.
On TPV Radio Network. So we're talking about your child is not your friend. So we're going to finish it up. Before I leave, I am your host, Niece, and I'm here with my co-host, Christopher, the Psalmist voice. And you can catch him tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. on TPV Radio Reloaded. I just can't talk right tonight, family and friends. What's going on? I just can't get it together on his co-host, Siron Williams, Minister Siron Williams. So you can catch him tomorrow at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time, family and friends. And, of course, you can catch the Williams Review Saturday afternoon at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. Then TPV Reloaded would be back on Sunday at 2 p.m. And then, of course, me and my beautiful sister, Diane LeBron. You can catch us Monday afternoon at 12 p.m. on The Grub. And, of course, the Caribbean Pepper Pot, Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. So, you know, we have all kind of different things going on here on TPV Reloaded that you could catch us, you know, on different things, different topics, bringing everything spiritually. Saturday at, because the Williams Review is now a two-hour show, family and friends. They're from 1 to 2, no, 1 to 3, I'm so sorry, 1 to 3. And then I'll be back at 4 p.m. on Saturday with the Man Let's Talk. That's right, bringing you guys some health tips. So how the way the Man Let's Talk is going to work. This is how it's going to work. I finally decide what I'm going to do with it. It's going to be once a month, every third Saturday of the month. That's how I'm going to do the man's review, because I don't want to put too much in there. And then, you know, it's too much and we can't talk about anything or stuff. So that's how we're going to do the man's review. Not men's review, men that's talk, so family and friends, you know, that's how we're going to do a little bit of this, a little bit of that, but you could catch all the other shows on TPV Radio Network here on Block Talk. We're also on The Bridge, so you could also catch us on The Bridge. You could download the app 365 Live to catch the shows as well. And The Bridge, the guys them have a morning talk show too, so it's, you know, the brothers in Christ, so you could tune in there and listen to them. But going along with the topic of the night and finishing this up is friends don't let friends do their homework. So that's what we're talking about tonight. So let me read this real quick and then I'll send it over to my husband. It's you can be your own child's friend, just not his confidence. The key is having a responsible friendship with your child. Friends don't let friends make excuse for failure. Friends don't let friends badmouth and defy the rules. That's the type of friend you need to be to your child. A responsible friend and the model of responsible friendship is identical to the model of responsible parenting. So family and friends, I'm going to turn it over to my husband, and then we're going to move into the last topic of the night.
What's good, family? So we are about to close this thing out right, but of course, before we do, you know, we can stop being our, you know, our kids' confidant, you know, we should be able to talk with our children, with us. Yeah, let's go, you know, yeah, buddy, yeah. I mean, you know, it's great to have a great relationship with your children. Don't get me wrong. It's great to have a rapport with your children. Don't get me wrong. But we have to separate the child and the adult. And a lot of us don't do that. And where we go wrong is that we allow them to be our buddy And you know how that goes, especially in the natural world. You know, you be buddy, 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 y'all best friends and stuff like that. And the next thing you know, something go wrong, and then y'all ready to go ham and cheese. So, we have to be very, very careful when it comes to, you know, our children's relationships. We are the developers of our children. We are the potter. We are the potter and they are the clay. We have to mold them to a point where, you know, they can be not only, again, like I said before the break, not only be individuals that can, you know, shut down and make waves and be an example, be game changers, be leaders. You know, we have to give them that motivation that they can do it. We need to push them to be better than us. Is it okay for us as parents to make sure they have the necessary means to do that? Absolutely. You know, as parents, you don't never want your kids to struggle like you struggled. You always want your kids to do better than you've done. You know, all these things. But at the same time, we have to teach our kids values, and a lot of them don't have that now. They don't have values. They don't know what it's like to earn anything. They think they're entitled to everything, and I'm sorry to tell you, young people, you're not. You know, we had to earn everything that we've gotten, you know, even in the world that we live in. You're not entitled to anything. You have to show your worth, period, regardless if you are out in the workplace or not. You show your value, you will be taken care of. But if you show your ignorance, you will be taken care of as well. So we have to be smarter. We have to be more wiser. We have to not spare the rod. We have to, you know, of course, when they're teenagers, that's a little different. You know, we got to learn how to handle things differently. And for me, it's going to be a challenge because when you have boys, you just put on the boxing gloves and go to town. But with girls, it's a whole different can of paint. It's going to be totally a total different whirlwind for me. So it's going to be a challenge. I'm pretty excited about it. But at the same time, you know, I'm going to make sure that I be the best dad that I can be for my girls and to be a best example for them that not all men are the way society portrays them as, you know, out here today. Just saying. But anyway, moving forward, again, I'm excited, you know, about, you know, what's going to happen, how we're going to move forward and all that with the station, you know, with our shows. I'm pretty excited. And, you know, there's more to come to that as we, you know, move forward. But again, you know, let me go ahead and throw some word in here because that's what I'm best at. You know, I'm not good at just throwing my own, you know, spin on stuff. You know, I like to throw some word in the middle of it, too. So, you know, as we know, you know, this is a subject that's touchy for everybody, especially in the church realm. It's very touchy. So we have to understand, you know, if we would train our children rightly, train them the right way they should go and not in the way that they would go. Remember, children are born with a decided bias towards evil, and therefore, if you let them choose for themselves, they certainly will choose wrong. Now, the mother can't tell, or the father can't tell, what her tender infant is going to grow up to be like. Tall, short, strong, weak, foolish, wise, you know, all these different things. So, Proverbs 22:15, a child left to himself bringeth his mother shame. And Proverbs 29:25 also says that our hearts are like the earth on which we tread. Let it alone, and it is sure to bear weeds. Now, if then you would deal wisely with your child, and you must not leave him to be the guidance of his own will. Think of him, judging for him, acting for him, just as you would one weak and blind. But for pity's sake, give him not up for his own wayward taste and inclinations. So pretty much, you know, we don't want to spoil our kids, you know, to the point that they're just unbearable. Love should be like a silver thread that runs through all of our conduct as children. Kindness, gentleness, long-suffering, forbearance, patience, sympathy, and willingness to enter into childish trouble, and readiness to take part in childish joys. These are the cores by which a child may be led most easily. And these are the clues you must follow if you would find the way to his or her heart. So, on that note, I'm going to spice it up just a little bit and put on my boy, Byron Brown. He has a mix here that's going to get you up on your feet. And then after the music break, when we come back, we're going to close this thing and put a nice little bow on it. And that's that. And then tomorrow we got, of course, the Psalmist Voice Reloaded with myself, the Psalmist Voice, and my brother from the same father, Minister Sauron Williams. We're going to get it in and chop it up with another hot topic just for you, family. So let's get it. Let's go. We'll be right back right after this. Byron Brown, take it away. Just about done with today's show. So we've already are capped out here, but I'm just going to read you a little last minute tidbit here. How to stop being your child's confidant now. Now, if you have shared too much with your child and not set the kind of limits they need, boundaries, for whatever reason, all in the name of being your child's friend, you can change to become more effective. It begins by talking to your child about what you're going to talk about from now on. Again, setting boundaries. Say, I've decided that there are some things I should be talking to other adults about, not a child. So I'm not going to talk to you about them anymore because I think it hurts our relationship. You don't have to be specific about the subject, but just be direct. So, family, in that, so how to stop being your child's confidant? Set boundaries. Boundaries are key. We must set boundaries with our children. Yes, we can have awesome relationships with our kids. That's not what I'm saying. But certain things that does not involve children, like adult decisions, like paying bills, if mommy and daddy are having a spat, all these things that we like to involve our kids in, we should not. We should find an adult that could actually talk to us, that's a man or woman of God that can give us wise and sound counsel and not choose sides to help with the adult situation and keep the kid in a child's place. So, you know, friends, don't let friends make excuses for failures. Friends, don't let friends badmouth and defy the rules. That's the type of friend that you need. If that's the type of friend that your child needs, a child needs a responsible friend. The model of responsible friendship is identical to the model of responsible parenting. So if you got, you know, again, friends are very key and vital to your child's relationship. If you got one of those kids that are just off the hook and off the handle, yeah, they don't need to be together. Well, look, they might sneak out or whatever when they're in school. They might have their time when they're in school. But as far as when they're home and hanging out, no, that's got to be limited. I'm going to know who your parents are. We're going to talk to your parents to make sure that this is going to be cool on both parties, because the parents is not going to call me up talking about your kid did this and your kid did that and vice versa. So if the parents are aware of the friendship, the parents are aware of the relationship with the children, that should be great, because in that way everybody will be informed. So if anything happens to any of the children, all the adults in the party will be notified and everybody will stop tripping and all that stuff. So, family, that's a wrap, Jack, with our love potion portion of our show. Your child is not your friend. If you missed tonight's show, please go back to our archives at www.blocktalkradio.com/TPV Radio Network, and you can listen to the replay of tonight's show. And also big up to KBRG The Bridge. Thank you so very much for us being a part of that station and being allowed to play on the West Coast as well, as we're playing in the Midwest, the South, Mid-South, East Coast, West Coast, worldwide. God bless you all. TPV Nation, thank you so much. TPV Radio family, thank you so very much for your support with the station, and the best is yet to come, family. So we are at the end of tonight's show, and thank you so very much for tuning in. Again, we thank God. Yeah, I'm sorry, man. We out of time. So let me say a quick prayer and we are out of here. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you and praise you for yet another day. We thank you for another topic to hit home with all of us. We all can be better parents. We all can be better in our relationships with our children. And we pray that you continue to guide us and be the middle guide for all of us, so we can walk the line that you want us to walk with our relationships with our children. We ask all these things in Jesus Christ's awesome and matchless name. Amen. So, family, I will see you tomorrow at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time, 9 a.m. Pacific, and 12 noon Eastern Standard Time for the Psalmist Voice Reloaded with my brother from the same father, Minister Cyron Williams. So, family, don't miss the show. We're going to have a good one. We're going to be talking about what does the Bible say about strength. What does the Bible say about strength? So, keep it locked. Thomas Voice, for my beautiful wife, niece, God bless you all. We thank you so very much for tuning in to the Love Potion right here on the Thomas Voice Radio Network. We will see you next week, same time, same station. We out. Thank you.